referencing live on this, but by the time you listen to it, it's probably basically recorded at that point. So yeah, it's just the Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clements. With us, as always this week, is our wonderful panel. Jeff is running a little bit late. He's going to join us as soon as he can. Something about a photo shoot and, I don't know, just make up your own like plot line in there. For but we've got the brand new Aunt Carolyn, which is really exciting. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so in love with my nephew. Everybody who was like, you're going to be so obsessed with this little tiny person was right.
It's true. It's like, okay, so we were just talking about this before the show. It's better to be the aunt than the parent sometimes because the aunt just give him back.
Yep.
It's that easy. And we're all a little jealous of that. But I'll make sure to include the Instagram photo in the show notes and all because he is a cute kid.
Thanks.
Not that you had anything to do with it, but you did well.
Nothing to do with it.
And then the other awesome, fantastic Chase, the other best Chase or whatnot, Chase Livingston from Automatic. How are things?
Doing very well. Glad to be here. After a little while.
I should say Chase and I are mortal enemies basically from the end of this recording up through next week because his alum, Clemson University, plays my favorite football team, Auburn University, this weekend in the home opener. And it is the – it's yeah, so –
it's going to be quite a game.
It is, and you're lucky that we're not kicking in that mortal enemy until after this is over.
So. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
He's going to be all the hard questions.
It is. All of them. All right. So, yeah, this week we're continuing in that new series. You know, we've talked before about how to make your product better, how to make your team better and all that. This series we're focusing more on you, how to make you better, both when it comes to your professional career and just as, I don't know, as an overall person. This week we're talking about mentorship. So we've talked about it before in the context of, you know, if you're a new manager and you're looking for a mentor, that kind of thing. So there's a great conversation there. I'll make sure to put it in the show notes. This week, we want to look about what happens when you, for whatever reason, you don't have a mentor. Maybe you can't find one. Maybe one that there's not one particular person that really lines up with your career or whatnot. But for whatever reason, we want to talk about what are some things you can do when you are basically self-mentoring. So, Carolyn, we'll start with you. Like I said, since Chase is my mortal enemy later on. When you first stepped into your chief happiness officer role at Buffer, like that's not something you hear a lot of in the, like, you know, a CHO basically. So I can't imagine there were lots of people that you could like look to and be like, hey, teach me on how all this works. So like, how did you figure things out that first year or so?
Yes and no. Yes, there weren't a lot of people who had that specific title, and certainly there was nobody at Buffer who had done it before. But there are people outside of the company who, you know, a lot of people are trying to launch customer service programs or trying to lead customer service teams. So, and there's a lot of like books and things like that. So, you know, you might feel like you're alone in your company, but more likely than not, there's a lot of people who've come before. So I just tried to soak up a lot of the knowledge in books and Medium articles and, you know, blog posts and things like that, that, you know, Twitter chats, there's like, you know, no end to the resources out there if you're looking for like resources and things that you can read and follow.
Was there a specific book that you kept coming back to or one that you would say, hey, this is one that you need to make sure you've read?
Let me get back to you on that because there's a few that come to mind. I mean, obviously there's like Delivering Happiness and books about like company philosophy, but if we're talking like really specific, yeah, let me actually
think about that one.
Let me pause on that one. Yeah.
Pause on that one. And Chase, you know, so, back way back at episode like 3, you were over at Ubuntu One and you were doing your thing there, right? And then you moved into Automatic and that kind of thing. Like how, when you didn't have anybody else really, how did you kind of make sure that you were doing like the right things to make your, to kind of move your career forward?
I mean, yeah, Carolyn sort of hit the nail on the head there with sort of just trying to find that community and especially other folks that are doing the same things and you know, just build that community and try to learn from each other. You know, obviously Support Ops and the support-driven community and that kind of thing weren't around then. We sort of, you know, obviously started that a little later. But even just connecting with you, Chase, and then Carolyn and Jeff way back when was a huge help. And, you know, I've learned a lot from the three of you, you know, over the years. And so that's, you know, been a big part of it. Between that and just, you know, reading everything I can that's, you know, published on customer service and following various blogs and that kind of thing has been super helpful.
Yeah, I think it gets back to, you know, so we keep bringing up community again. There's a lot of wisdom in the crowd, right? And it kind of lessens the burden all the way around. Because for me anyways, I always felt really bad. And this is in this job and previous jobs and whatnot. I always felt really bad like walking up to somebody and being like, hey, I know you're really busy and you're really successful, which is why I'm talking to you in the first place. But hey, can you take time out of your busy schedule and everything else to like share some of whatever you're doing right with me kind of thing? Like that's a big, big ask. So I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, shows like ours has been really helpful to a lot of people. And then the support driven community, which by the way, if you're not on support driven, it's supportdriven.com. It's a fantastic community there where I just learn a ton each and every week. Plus conferences too. I mean, you know, user conference was there kind of as the first, it's now morphed into Elevate. You've got SupConf now, which is coming up in November, which, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You should buy your tickets for that when they go on sale on Tuesday the 30th. Because there might be some awesome people there. Not that I can say anything about it yet, but there might be some awesome people there that you want to meet when that happens in November. But yeah, I mean, it's those commutes. Do you think that's kind of, and Carolyn, we'll switch back to you. Do you think that's kind of going to be the MO going forward, that we're going to kind of gather more from communities like that than having like one-on-one kind of mentors?
I would say the whichever one of you said, like the wisdom in the crowd, that is so true. I mean, I rely on that all the time. Even as recently as like last week, we were examining our security policy for when we turn off two-factor authentication for somebody. And like, I Googled 27 different ways of like, what are the people's policies on that? Like, there just weren't blog posts about that. And so, you know, partially for reasons of like not wanting to tell people out there exactly how to get around that. But also just because it's just not one of those things that you think to write a blog post about. So I dropped into support driven Slack channel and was like, hey, what is everybody's policy on this? And it was like answers and questions, not even necessarily just answers, but questions to think through while we were deciding that. So it was hugely useful. Tentatively, yeah. I do think a one-on-one type relationship still is one of the best things you can do. And not only somebody who's been there and done that, like, of course, if you can find a mentor who's been there and done that and somebody who can coach you, who has like solved a lot of those problems, you end up cutting so much time out. But honestly, one of the most beneficial one-on-one relationships that I have is with Sunil, who's the CTO at Buffer, and he and I have grown a lot through the years together. And we do, we have a lot of similar challenges, even though our topics are completely different. Like I'm on customer service, he's on security and platform and technology, but our teams were growing at similar rates. We knew a lot of the same context about the company. We knew a lot of the same challenges. And we, you know, figuring out how to coach and then how to, you know, figure out how to reward people and promote and then how to coach leaders. And like a lot of our trajectory at the company was really similar. And so we ended up having a lot of really great discussions with learning from each other, even though the topics that we were working in were sort of different. So I don't know, for the like really specific aspects of customer service, I think the crowd is huge, but and the community and people who are willing to help is just awesome. But don't sacrifice working really closely with individual people who either you admire or don't know the answers either, but is somebody who you can kind of go like, oh, I don't know how to approach this. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking about that conversation about the two-factor and all. That's, I mean, that's almost like a conversation like that happens every day over at Support Driven, because today there was, you know, people talking back and forth about how to handle autoresponders and if you should actually do that or not. Last week it was, I remember a conversation that I got pulled into anyways, was about how to handle ownership transfers. You know, you've got an account with a specific owner on it. Like, how do you transfer that? There, again, for security, you know, reasons, there's not a lot of blog post or help articles on something like that other than, hey, talk to support. So it's really good to, for those particular situations when you've got to figure out how to do something, I think those, that yeah, the community plays really well and helps with those. Chase Livingston, you know, one of the things that kind of always comes up whenever I talk to Spittle or basically anybody else at Automatic is a lot of, like, there is this self-driven, I'm going to, like, copyright that phrase, self-driven. That's nice. like the self-driven career growth. Like, can you kind of talk about what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I think at least I don't want to speak for Andrew Spittle, obviously, but I think, you know, in his mind and...
No, just
and,
do it. You're fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah, so this is exactly what Spittle says, and I'm going to quote him, and if you disagree, just tweet him. But anyway, I think a lot of...
At know, Andrew Spittle, right?
I think that's exactly right.
Troublemakers.
He's gonna fire me now. essentially, I think what, you know, his feelings behind that and sort of the way that we, you know, look at that at Automatic in general is that support, you know, is a career. And while there may not be necessarily a, like a step ladder of promotions or things like that, like a lot of other, you know, and you know, in some places there may be, but at least in our company and many of others, there are, it's essentially a flat, you know, structure. So it's not like I can move to this managerial role and then step up to this, you know, next managerial role and that kind of thing. And so, at Automatic, I think we're sort of more, driven to, you know, do our regular job and support, but then branch out and find something else we're passionate about, whether it be, documentation, whether it be testing. That's one of the things that I'm involved in a lot outside of just, you know, every day answering tickets is testing new Jetpack releases, coming up with testing plans, working directly with the developers to make sure that all the changes that they've made are documented and are, you know, getting tested before we're putting out releases. There's a lot of other folks that are working on even mentoring, you know, within the company. There's a sort of a new mentor program for new happiness engineers that pair you up with a more experienced happiness engineer that you can ask questions to and just sort of bounce ideas off of and learn from. So those are just a few of the things that we do that are, you know, obviously outside day-to-day support roles or responsibilities, but are, you know, bettering you as a happiness engineer and also hopefully helping somebody else in the process too.
And so you mentioned that that kind of mentoring was kind of new. Like, what did you do before that kind of program was put in place? Was there anything that kind of, or was it just kind of like a free for all?
Everybody, so it's been, since I started, everybody new that starts at Automatic gets a mentor. It may not necessarily, usually it's not somebody that's in your same role. So that's sort of like a company-wide thing. And so that's been, you know, in place for quite a while. But I think now that we have, you know, more happiness engineers and that kind of thing, we have, you know, a little bit more, I guess, leeway to pair folks up as, you know, to keep up with the speed of hiring, to make sure that folks have, you know, somebody that is doing essentially the same job that they are, but just, you know, have been doing it for maybe a little longer and are a little more experienced to go to when they have questions or, you know, need help. I mean, you know, really just anything. And then also the more experienced happiness engineer can just give encouragement and, you know, review tickets, provide feedback, you know, constructive feedback to either improve or say, hey, you're doing a great job. Keep up, you know, this aspect, you know, you really did a great job explaining this complex problem to this user in a way that they could understand, sort of things like that. So I think now that we've reached a point where we have enough people in support that can spread that load, it's a great way to mentor the new hires that we're bringing on.
So, Carolyn, I want to switch back just a little bit. We were talking about, you know, some of the conferences and all that have helped out. Because I think, personally, that's one of those where when I look at what's the best way for me to learn very quickly, you know, besides like reading a book, obviously, which I'm still coming back to you for that. So keep thinking on that.
I'm ready.
But yeah, so as far as like conferences go, when you go to a conference, like whether it's customer oriented or whatever else, what kind of things are you looking for? Like what's kind of your plan when you go into conference to make sure that you're getting the most from that?
Oh, that is a good question. There are many.
Do you want me to like stall on that one too?
No. I mean, I'm just going to come out and say, like, I don't have a great one. There's a lot of people who have written about this, like very specific things to look for. Okay. So some like really practical things. First, when you're going to a conference, take care of yourself and your health. Like honestly, the most important things that I've learned is to manage my energy at conferences. So, try not to burn out on the first day, but, also like kind of the flip side of that is, literally every single person there is someone you can learn from and someone who is going to be important potentially in like this community. So, try to not eat alone, like, you know, try and meet as many people as you can. Connect on Twitter immediately afterward. You know, follow people, write down their blog, like whatever it is. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to get flack for this, but, like the speakers and things like that are so usually so valuable. And that's definitely the reason you like think about going to a conference, but it's the people who you're sitting next to in the audience that are equally, if not more important, other people who you, when you just stuff comes up over lunch and then you are like, oh yeah, we deal with a similar problem. Let's talk about that. And then you have a Skype call 2 weeks later. And then like you have a peer in the industry like that. I would say just the people absolutely trying to get as close to and learn from and connect with as many as possible who are there.
I was waiting to throw like challenge cake there and there was nothing like, no, that.
I that. Cool.
I know for a lot of times so not every conference, but for a lot of them, like there will be videos that recap or show basically whatever the speakers were talking about. So, you know, I've seen people go to conferences and they have like their laptop out and they're typing notes furiously as, you know, whoever's talking about whatever, or they're taking pictures with their phone of every slide that goes by, or they're writing notes furiously or whatever. Like that for me, I don't know, that always took me out of that. It's almost like being back in college where you're like, you're trying to capture everything that the teacher had to say before they were like, oh wait, we can like stick a camera in the back and like put these on YouTube so everyone has them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the same thing. It's, you know, when you go to a conference and you're listening to those speakers, like just listen, don't worry about making sure to capture every single thing that they're saying. Like that's fine. There's going to be videos later on, more than likely, of that kind of that talk.
Can I give a challenge cake?
Oh, okay.
Challenge cake, by the way, is a reference to for our viewers who don't see a cake right now. It's when we used to do the hangout on Google Hangouts, which had like props and you could put up a cake in them. Okay, anyway.
I need to get like a real challenge cake.
I know. So my experience at conferences is 100% exactly what you're saying. Don't hysterically try and write down everything that the speakers are saying, but do write down all the ideas that come into your mind as that's happening. Like that super escalated, like very connected, completely focused brain thing that happens when you're at a conference, which is specifically, you know, all day thinking about and talking about all the same challenges. You're not checking your work email, or you're trying to do that as little as possible. You're not like at home doing laundry. Like you're not doing any of the things that you normally do that limit your ability to just like marinate in that topic. And so what I find is that so many things come to my head of like, oh, we could try this, or we could do that, or this is a challenge that we have that I haven't thought about. Like do write all those things down.
Yeah. So, okay. Addended. Yes, I agree with that. So we're good with that.
Wasn't really challenging. Again.
Yeah. Cause you know, I keep coming back to like the people that you meet in the hallways and sit next to and all that are going to be like, that's exactly how support driven happened. For those that don't know, like Scott and I met at a user conf. I was walking down the hallway trying to find Carolyn for lunch. And
I didn't know this part.
Yeah. I was walking down there trying to find you and Jeff, cause I knew Jeff was near you somewhere. So I was trying to find y'all for lunch, and Scott happened to be standing on this like little raised thing, and he leaned over the rail and he's like, you're Chase. And I was like, yeah, and you are. And he's like, I'm Scott. And so we talked for a couple of minutes and then exchanged email addresses and all that. And then he hit me up with Support Driven maybe a week later, something like that. And then all of a sudden, I think the last count, there were like 1,000 people in the community now or something like that. So yeah, I mean, it's those little things, all the dots that you connect, that I think really helps when it comes to you growing both in your career and even personally. I found this to be true. You know, all those little things that you're not explicitly planning for that all of a sudden make sense when you look back. Like, that's so cool. Chase, do you find the same thing? Because, I mean, WordPress, when you want to get better at WordPress and get better at, you know, supporting WordPress and all, that's you go to a, you know, a WP meetup somewhere. Have you found that to be true there?
Definitely. And you know, WordCamps are sort of our version of, you know, big conferences and things like that. And usually there's, you know, one in a city that's somewhere near you. We have them, you know, all over the world, and they're just community organized by the folks in that local community. So yeah, with WordPress, you know, WordCamps and even your just local meetup groups are great places to go and learn about that. I've learned a lot about WordPress from going and sitting in on some talks that may be a little over my head, but, are, you know, super interesting to me. And then afterwards strike up a conversation with the speaker or somebody else in the audience who, you know, maybe interested in the same things that I am, and, you know, sit down and chat about it. So that's definitely a great way, especially if you're involved in a community that has events like that pretty regularly.
Yeah. All right. So Carolyn, coming back before we won't, like I said, don't want to let you off the hook. What's the book?
Okay. Can I pick a couple? Okay, I'm going to start. Okay, we have to pick one. I do think that the Zappos Delivering Happiness story is worth reading. Anybody who watches this probably has come across that and maybe read it and has it highlighted and, like, has it by their bed. So,
I'm going to throw Challenge Mouse. So Delivering Happiness is fine and everything else, but at the same time, I think it can set some, maybe we should do a book review episode or something.
That's a great idea.
But I can think it can kind of set some unrealistic expectations sometimes too, because when you think about Zappos, like, you instantly go to, like, oh yeah, so-and-so had a 10-hour phone call with a customer. Like, that's not like what you need to be reading to get better and all. So I'm not saying like Delivering Happiness is not a great book. It should definitely be there. The challenge there would be, don't take it as gospel. Don't worry about putting it by your bedside table, like that kind of thing.
Okay, so here's the flip side of that. Many people know that Zappos is owned by Amazon. And even though this is not a customer service book, the Everything Store is actually mostly about Jeff Bezos than anything else. But it does go deeply into kind of the opposite philosophy that ends up at the same place, which is excellent customer experience, but from like the total opposite direction, which is like, let's never talk to a person. Let's never, like, let's get them off the phone in 10 seconds. Like, 10 seconds? How can we do it in 9? Yeah. Like, that sort of heavily, heavily data focused approach of like, what is the information? What can we learn from every interaction so that we never have to have one of these again? Like, the opposite of that, like, let's talk and let's order pizza.
They should bundle those together.
They should. They really should. It's such a. Also, interesting about those two stories, side note, is that they tell the story of the Zappos acquisition like so differently. So two sides to that story.
We're going to do it. Support Ops Book Club. It's going to be a whole series. We're going to pick like 5. Let's do it.
Okay. And then the super last one I want to talk about, especially if you're leading a team, the book that, that I really enjoyed is called Turn the Ship Around. And it's not exactly about customer service either, but it is about leadership. Yeah, and it is about working with people and training people who shouldn't need you for long. And that has been really inspiring. Like, what I think, like, one of the main takeaways from the beginning is, like, if you leave and your team falls apart, like, that feeds your ego, but actually that's terrible. Like, if you have to go away for a week and you feel like you can't because your team can't function without you, like, actually you're failing as a leader. That's not like, oh, I'm so good at my job that my team, like, needs me all the time. It's, like, kind of the opposite. So that's been, I highly recommend that one as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of those that has been really critical and just kind of how Basecamp operates, you know, Turn the Ship Around. For folks that haven't read it, it puts that, not the burden necessarily, but puts the responsibilities and everything else for the choice back on the person rather than them needing approval or whatnot from a higher person. And that really makes you, one, it makes you step up your game. Like, you've got to get better at whatever your job is before you can really make decisions at that kind of level. It's really, you can't just be like, oh, I think this will work, and then push it off to somebody, say yes or no. Yeah, we got to do that book idea. Livingston, is there any particular books or conferences or things that has really like helped out for you as far as, you know, growing and self-mentoring?
I can't think of necessarily any books other than what, you know, Carolyn's already mentioned. I've read, you know, a couple of those, and those are definitely, you know, great. One other one I can think of, I think that comes up pretty often. I think it's called, Setting the Table or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one that comes up pretty often. It's been a while since I've read it. So I probably shouldn't endorse it too much, cause I would need to go back and look at it again to make sure that I still agree with everything that I found from it. But that's one that I know comes up a good bit. So it might be a good one to check out if you're not familiar with it. But as far as, you know, other reading and stuff, just finding some folks that blog about this kind of thing, you know, on a regular basis, or even, you know, companies. I know Help Scout, Buffer, lots of places, you know, keep regular blogs, you know, even specifically on customer service. So that's a great way to follow other industry trends and that kind of thing, and just, you know, get insight from others that are doing the same thing you are and learn from them.
Yeah, I would say, you know, so I think for me anyways, all this boils down to, like, if I want to like advance my career, get better at it, like, and kind of be my own mentor, that starts at consuming as much solid, reliable information as I can about the industry. Right. And that comes through shows like ours, or communities like Support Driven, or blogs like Help Scout and all that. And Kayako. And I think we've, you know, run down the list before. I'll try to find it and put those back up. Books and like all those, like the more widely I read, the better I am at my job. And like Carolyn mentioned earlier, you don't have to solely focus on like your specific industry. So don't think you like have to run out and look at a bunch of customer support books, because A, there's not that many. You know, that might be like a weekend reading. And B, a lot of times you're going to learn a lot of, so I'll say you're going to learn more from reading outside of your industry than you are inside of your industry, because you read books like Turn the Ship Around, that kind of you wouldn't come across in normal day-to-day interactions. When we talk about delivering great customer experiences and all that kind of thing, just by hanging out with people like us or Support Driven or you know, any of the people that we mentioned, that's going to naturally rub off and kind of start influencing you. But we're probably not going to be like jumping up and down and saying like, oh my God, did you see like this thing that happened over in like Java land or whatever, you know? And you might be, I'm going to get so many emails now, be like, there's no Java land. There's a Java land. You know, like those are things that you might be the one that brings that back into the community and shares it with everybody. And so we can learn from that. So I would say, like, again, the wider you can read, the better off things are going to be for you. I will. So my bookshelf is like right here. So that's why I can only do this and reach down. Be Our Guest is a fantastic book from the Disney Institute. I picked it up because I just wanted to, I've only been to Disney World like twice in my life, but I was really interested in how they basically run this empire, especially when it comes to the parks, right? Like coordinating things to the degree, like you never see a cast member in normal clothes anywhere in the public spaces, right? Like that's crazy. Like how do you get the guy that plays Mickey Mouse into his costume without all the rest of us seeing? Like just the thought and detail that goes into that was really cool. But even though it's a book about Disney, like I was able to pick up different ideas and things to try in our own customer experience at Basecamp. So again, we'd read widely, you know, read lots of different areas and niches and all that kind of thing, because it's going to help out. That's probably the longest I've talked in a while. So please, anything else you want to throw in?
I'm so happy you mentioned Disney. I was going to say, there's this podcast that I've just recently been listening to called Creating Disney Magic. And it is with the former COO, I think, of the Disney brand. And he has, like, he just, every time he opens his mouth, it's like this very relatable, interesting, and applicable thing.
There's so many episodes.
I know.
There's like 91 episodes. This is amazing. Links in the show notes.
I haven't made it through that many of them yet, but the few that I have listened to have been fantastic. So I'm so happy you said Disney. I was going to say that.
And this is down to like some nitty gritty stuff in here too. Oh my God, this is going to be like my obsession now for like the next however long.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah. Again, like this is stuff that you wouldn't think would normally be like material that you could pull from into your own experience. But seriously, I'm like these companies, when they do it at scale like that and make sure that you have a great experience every time. I mean, down to, there was a great example of how they, and I'll try to find the article, but they were talking about how they rolled out the Disney Pass bands, whatever that band thing is that you can get. Like, yeah, it makes it easier for you to spend money in the park and all that kind of thing, but it also allowed them to personalize like out the wazoo. So like if they see you come in to, I think the example was a family went in to have dinner at one of the restaurants where like the characters come around and everything else, and they knew in advance that the little girl really loved Belle from Beauty and the Beast. They made sure that that character was at the table at some point to say hi to the little girl. Like that's something that, one, it's a fantastic customer experience, and two, left me going like, how did they do that?
We went to Disney World last year and used those bands, and it is crazy. I mean, that's how you do everything from open the gate when you're driving in to get to your hotel to getting into the park to jumping on a ride with your fast pass. It's, you know, pretty amazing how they do all that.
Yeah. All right. So that's our thoughts on this one. Sorry, we kind of rambled around a little bit in there, but I think you got the gist. I mean, when it comes to helping yourself grow and being your own mentor and that kind of thing, those resources, that's the key. Like, you know, we talk about finding a particular person, like that can be hard sometimes, but you know, out of all the different things we talked about from the conferences to the communities to individuals and things like that, I think that's going to be how it is going forward. You know, that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck and all. All right. Show notes are going to be up. Supportops.co. We'll don't know what happened to Jeff on this episode. I guess he's still at that photo shoot where if somebody wrote like a horrible story or something when I told you to do that earlier about Jeff, like, man, that's not cool. But he'll be back next week, I'm sure. And we'll continue in this series. Show notes will be up. Supportops.co. Find us on Twitter. We're at Supportops there. And for those of you that are, you know, doing that Seth Mentor thing, let us know if we missed anything. Hit us up at any of those places and we'll get your comments in on the next episode. Other than that, until we see you again, have an awesome week.